will be obedient to that. Just a quick thought in the few minutes that we have from the Word of God. I'm one of those guys that loves Christmas all the time. Missions has a lot to do with Christmas. Amen? For the whole purpose that Jesus came, as we said, was to seek and to save that which is lost. Doesn't matter if you're a missionary going to Brazil or Japan or the military or any place else. Your desire is the same. To take the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. He was speaking of his flesh, was he not? John chapter 6. He said, the life that I give is my flesh, and I give it for the life of the entire world. Aren't you glad Jesus came? Amen. Just real quick out of Romans chapter 5, just a couple of verses and a quick thought. In the few minutes we have before we turn it back over to Pastor. As we go around the world as missionaries, in my case to the military chaplaincy, as I said, our goal is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's one thing that comes to my mind that has an awful lot to do with missions and has to do with Christmas at the same time. And that is the fact that the gift that we are administering is a free gift, according to the Word of God. Amen? We don't have time to go back there, but you ought to read in Genesis chapter 2 sometime. Before Eve was even taken out of Adam's side, God told Adam, you can eat of every tree of the garden freely, except for the tree of knowledge. Good and evil, amen? And then right in the very first verse of chapter number 3, the devil comes to Eve and said, yea, hath God said, and he left out the word freely. He quoted God word for word, except the word freely. He left that one out. See, he wants you to know. He doesn't mind you going to church. He doesn't even mind you getting on a spiritual treadmill and doing all the works you want to. He just doesn't want you walking with Jesus, amen. Something about that free gift. So many want to work their way to heaven. And may I say to you, drunkenness is wicked. Prostitution is wicked. There's all kinds of wickedness and perversion that we could talk about tonight, and you'd say that's wicked in the sight of God. Amen, it's wicked. But may I say to you, I'm convinced that more people die and go to hell because of pride than any of those things. That's why God said, six things doth God hate, yea, seven are an abomination, and the first thing on that list is a proud look. What was it that got the whole thing started with the devil to begin with? I will ascend to the, I will be like the Most High. Amen? He wants people to get to the point where they think there is something that they have to do to be saved. And in Romans chapter 5, we find it real quick. Look at the verses with me. For time's sake, I'm just going to keep it short. You know verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it good to know you can have peace with Almighty God tonight? And then he goes through the rest of chapter 5 telling you how you get that peace. It's nothing you can earn. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't get baptized for it. You can't do penance for it. You can't take the sacraments for it. The Bible says in verse number 8 of this same chapter, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then look on down with me here. I want to get to the key verse. Verse 15. We'll probably read it. Verse 18. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Did you notice that? For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, right, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. That's Adam's sin, right? But the, what kind of gift? The free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now here it is in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the what kind of gift again? The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Six times and just in those passages, it talks about the gift, and three of those times it mentions a free gift. Let me just simply say it this way in the few minutes that we have together. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, if your children come to you, and your son asks for bread, would you give him a stone? That's something my mother-in-law does all the time. Constantly asking for bread, and she gives me stone. I'm just kidding. Smile. If he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? And then he says in verse number 11 of that same chapter, Jesus said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him. Amen. I love Christmas time. And I think giving of gifts is just fine. We do it at our house. I like that. Not to the point of ridiculous, not to the point of driving yourself into debt. Amen. That's sin. But I do believe in the giving of gifts. We do it at our house. Expressions of love and the giving of those gifts. And I love it as a father and now a grandfather. I know how it is to want to give good gifts. But if I can be evil and do that, how much more can my Heavenly Father give good things? Let me quickly, just in the few minutes we have together, I'm about to roll that thing up, Pastor. Let me just give you five things very quickly, four things, I'm sorry, about the free gift that God gave us and how it is our job as a church. Listen, missions can be wrapped up very simply this way. You know Acts 1:8. You've probably heard it preached in every missions conference you ever had. You should receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. That you may roll around on the ground and whisper, simsalabim, and 1,000 kumquats. That's not what that says. That ye may be what? Why did he give us the power? That ye may be witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem, that's Byesville and Cambridge, and in Judea, that's the rest of Ohio, and in Samaria, that's the forgotten peoples of the world, the offscouring of the earth. Amen. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's the supreme task of any church to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way. Herein is my Father glorified, in that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And I like how Paul wrapped it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. He said, let a man so account of us. What should the world say about you and I as a church? Boy, they have good dinners down there. Now, I'm all for church dinners. I'm all for having a good time. I'll cut up with the best of them, brother, but that's not church. Church is propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone with whom we come in contact. Whether you send a missionary to Brazil or right here in your Jerusalem in Byesville and Cambridge. He said, Paul said in that verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 4, let a man so account of us to be ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That next verse says, it's required in stewards that a man be found what? Now, we always hear that preached about money. Now, I get that. I understand that application. Application can be made there. But that verse is not talking about money. That verse is a reference to verse number 1. Let a man so account of us that we've been ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And then it says, it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. Being faithful doing what? Being ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. It's not just up to the pastor. It's not just up to the missionary. Every one of us are commissioned to lead people to Christ and so bear fruit. Jesus walked up to the fig tree and cursed it. Why cumbereth it the ground? It wasn't bearing any fruit. And my wife and I can tell you, independent fundamental Baptist church after church after church in America, Brother Morrison can tell you as well, closing their doors tonight, not having church tonight, not because they were bad people, not because they weren't well-intending, not because they didn't have good fellowship, but because they quit propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the free gift is what missions is all about. Four things very quickly I'll give you, and I'm watching the clock, friend. We're going to be on time. First of all, there was the planning. I like the planning part. We ask our children to give us lists, amen? I don't know if they do. You do that at your house, but around September, October, you start asking them, and by November, they got a three-volume book to give you, amen, of all the things that they want for Christmas. I mean, they got the page number and the size and the color and everything else. Internet, website, where to find it. Oh, by the way, here's a $20 off coupon, Dad, so you can get it quicker. Your children pull that stuff on you. I like the planning. Telling us what they want. Asking us for those things that they would like to have. Knowing that I'm not going to get any of those things, but at least it's fun to talk about, amen. Just kidding. I like the planning that goes into that. And boy, we connive at our house. We're deceitful that way. I mean, my wife's always asking me about hints. You going to get me that thing I asked for? Nope. Ain't getting it this year. It's sitting in the garage. It's sitting in the back room, wherever. We're deceitful that there's a plan that goes behind it. Isn't that half the fun? Trying to surprise one another with that token of love that we so can't wait till they open up. Not that we're trying to buy their affection. We simply want to give out of a heart of love and see them satisfied. May I say to you, our Heavenly Father planned salvation before the foundation of the world. Isn't that what the Bible says? Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, speaking of Jesus Christ, that He was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest to us in these last times. Before the foundation of the world, God was thinking about your salvation. I don't know about you, but that kind of just makes me happy. Excuse me if I get a little bit happy about that. I mean, He planned this thing. He planned it in advance. He knew that you and I had no way to get to Him, so He came to us with a free gift. He planned it out all along. Number two, I told you I'm going to be on time. There was the plan. Secondly, there's the purchase. Now that you've decided what you're going to get, you have to go out and buy it. Now let's be honest with one another. If you're like me, half the fun of giving the Christmas gift is when you buy it. Isn't it fun? You buy that thing that you just know is going to make that child light up, or your wife, or your loved one, whatever. You're excited about it at the checkout line, aren't you? You can't wait to get it home. You want to play with it before the grandchildren do, if you're like me, amen? You can't wait. There's an excitement about the purchase. And that which you give is valuable to you. You worked hard for it. I want to simply give you a simple principle before I move to point number three about the purchase. This will make a Presbyterian run around the building and shout hallelujah. Value is always determined by the buyer. Always. If you have a car that you want to sell, Kelley Blue Book says it's worth $7,000. You've kept it in mint condition. You're only asking six. Ought to be an easy sale, right? But the greatest offer you get is $4,500. Guess what your car is worth? Doesn't matter what the buyer has determined it. Amen. You could have a house that's, you're asking $200,000. It appraises for $250,000. It's in great condition. You've kept it in good shape. But if the greatest offer you get is $185,000, guess how much your house is worth? The buyer has determined it. Now, shout hallelujah, friend. The buyer of our soul. What is your soul worth tonight? I'm talking to you as an individual now. Not those folks out there. You as an, what is your soul worth? Ma'am and sir, what is it worth? I'll tell you what it's worth. God, before the foundation of the world, said, I want to give a free gift. How much should I pay for this gift? He decided to send His only Son, who left the glories of heaven. I still can't understand all of this. I just believe it by God's grace. Amen. And the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. He loved dying for me. He was happy to do it. I don't understand that. I just believe it by God's grace. He gave me a free gift. Free gift. The world would have you think you have to work for it. Isn't it hard to lead folks to Christ these days? There's just something about free that just can't be right. Especially as Americans, you know. Surely we got to work for this thing. Work's a good thing, but not when it comes to salvation. That's already been paid for, amen? There was the plan. There was the purchase. We are bought with a price. Not with corruptible things, like silver and gold received from the vain conversations of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Isn't that right? The value of your soul is the most valuable thing in this universe that anybody could ever think of. The blood of Jesus Christ was poured out to buy you. That's a pretty good gift, amen? Merry Christmas, by the way. There was the plan, there was the purchase. Number three, I'm about done. There was the placement. There was the placement. You buy that gift, you wrap it. If you're like our house, you're always deceiving about it. Present might be about that big. You put in a box this big. Or you'll wrap it in four or five boxes so it takes them a half an hour and they're threatening you before they finally get the thing open. Where was that gift placed? just like we place them. We take those gifts and we put them at the foot of a tree, waiting for that moment when they'll be received. Where was our free gift placed? It was on an old rugged cross. A tree at a place called Calvary. Amen. How was that tree adorned? We put lights on our tree, Brother Mike. I just put the lights on our tree yesterday. How was that tree adorned? I'll tell you how it was adorned. With the light of the world. For Jesus is the light of the world. What kind of a top did you put on it? Was it a star? No, it was a crown of thorns. Placed at the foot of the tree. There was the plan. There was the purchase. There was the placement. Lastly, this is the most important part. Whether you're a missionary to the military, whether you're a missionary like the Brother Leithley in South Africa, or any place else in the world, here comes the hard part. You had the plan. You had the purchase. You had the placement. Number four is the presentation. The presentation. It lays there until December 25th or whatever your family tradition is, and you decide to open that. And I remember as a young boy, and even today, and we do it at our house. I know you're going to think we're weird, but we got about 15, 20 people at our house on Christmas morning. Y'all ought to pray for me. I mean, I've got sons and daughters and grandchildren there now. Our oldest daughter, she's engaged to be married to a preacher boy. He's got to come over to help unwrap Christmas presents. Why he needs the help with that, I don't know. In-laws are there. My mother's going to be there this year. My father passed away a couple years ago. I mean, we got folks showing up. I don't even know who some of these people are sleeping on my floor. Some of them sleeping in a bathtub. We've had people sleep in a bathtub, haven't we? I mean, it's crazy at our house. And when we get up to open the gifts, we do something I know you're going to think it's weird. I still think it's weird. In fact, it's excruciating. We have a rule. You have to open one gift at a time. And you cannot open the next gift until you have watched. Now, imagine that 15, 20 people. It's dark before we get done. I'm sitting there about halfway through saying, do we get to eat today? There's the presentation of the gifts. Now, I'll be honest with you. And if you're honest with me, it's a whole lot more fun to watch somebody open a gift than it is to receive one, isn't it? Especially those ones you've bought for your loved ones. And you watch them open them. And that look on their face. That thing that they wanted, that they didn't know you got. Whatever it may be. But let's be honest with one another. It's kind of nice, isn't it? When occasionally you hear your name called. Every once in a while the kids will say, Dad, we did find one for you. It's right under here. It's this little tiny thing. I think it's got a rock in it. It's kind of nice when you hear your name. May I say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ planned, purchased, and has placed your gift at the foot of the tree. He's presented it to you. And it has your name on it. Have you received it? Have you received it? That's the question that we ask. Salvation is so simple. And I don't believe in 1, 2, 3, say this prayer after me. I don't mean that. But it's so simple. Amen? I believe there's one question you must answer for all eternity, and that is this. Jesus asked it in John chapter 11. Right before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he looked at Martha and Mary and said, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he finishes that verse with a question. Believest thou this? Your eternity hangs on your answer. The gift that has been planned and so valuably purchased has been presented to you. You say, Brother Mike, and you hear it often from those that are lost, surely God would not send somebody to hell. God never sent anybody to hell. You have to choose to go there by stepping over the free gift and trampling on the very blood of Jesus Christ. In all my years at the Pharaoh's household of watching 3 billion presents being opened by people sometimes I don't even know, I've never heard anybody, when their name was called, say, no, I don't believe I want the gift. I've opened some that I wish they hadn't given. But I've never heard anybody refuse a gift. When eternity has been wrapped for you and paid for by the most precious thing that has ever existed in the universe, the blood of Jesus Christ, and you refuse that and stomp on the blood of the very Son of God, you have chosen to reject the free gift. And that's why you choose hell. God would never send you there. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. The free gift, look at the end of the verse here as I close. Look at the end of that verse in verse number 18. The justification's come unto all men. It's come upon all men. It's a personal gift. I love what David said in Psalm 23. He said, listen, God's a personal God. We somehow get the idea that God just shows up in congregations like this. No, God's a personal God. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I'm about to have some fun. Amen. Hey, listen to, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's a personal God. And that gift has your name on it, given to you by God Almighty. And the message that we send as missionaries around the world or in our military is just that. Here's the free gift. I wish I could make all of them take it. I wish I could unscrew their head and pour salvation down their neck. Amen. I can't do it. The Bible says, Apollos has sown and I've watered, but God gives the increase. It's not up to me or you to grow the fruit, friend, as much as we'd like to. God never commanded us to have big numbers. Did you hear what I said? In this today's society, if you got to have success, you know. God never commanded us to have numbers. He only commanded us to be faithful. Let God take care of the numbers. How many are going to be saved in your ministry in the military, Brother Mike? My answer to your question is this: all who believe. I'll let God decide what that number is when we get to eternity. My job is just to be faithful. Thank you, Bible Baptist Church. And thank you, Pastor Leithy, for the invite. I'm out of time, but let me just say this to you. Merry Christmas. You ain't ever had a gift like the gift Jesus gave. Paid for with His own blood. And He can't wait till you open it. Pastor Leithy.
Let's stand this evening and take a songbook. We're going to sing a verse of invitation this evening. I pray the Lord has challenged your heart, not only through the preaching about salvation, but also